As we come this morning to look at this name for God, El Shaddai, we want to look at Genesis, the 17th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 of this chapter. If you would care to join me in following along as we read these verses. Also, if you would like to stand in honor of God and His Word. Genesis 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Begins and says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we do come today just grateful to be in your house, to be in your midst, to look into the names that you've revealed to us that would help us to know you. Lord, in these moments, we seek to know you as El Shaddai. Speak to us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. One of the frustrations that I have is the inability of my vocabulary to adequately describe to you God. I mean, I like to use words like awesome and amazing, and yet those words are so inadequate. Because part of the issue of God being God is the fact that He is so incredible. Part of the incredibility of who He is the fact that He chose to reveal Himself to us. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but as I look back at my life and look at the ways that I have done things and lived that did not reflect God, I'm amazed that He chose to reveal Himself to me. And yet He does that. He chooses, even when we don't live up to what He expects, even when we don't walk according to His desires, even when we choose to reject Him, He chooses to reveal Himself to us. He chooses to make Himself known to us as His fallen creatures and to reveal Himself in many ways. He didn't just choose to make Himself known, but, you know, He chooses to make Himself known in ways that will help us, in ways that will make us stronger and will make us better and create in us the person He wants us to be. He started in the Old Testament revealing Himself to man, and as He started with the name Elohim, the Creator, the One who created everything that is good. You go back and look at Genesis 1, and it says every time God was completing a day of creation, it said, and it was very good. What does that tell you? God does everything right. He doesn't mess up. He doesn't make mistakes. Then He revealed Himself as Elyon, the God Most High, the One who is in control, who will ultimately bring the world to the conclusion that He has planned for it. One of these days, there's going to be a time when God will bring to end the world as we know it and give us a new world, a new Jerusalem. And God, Elyon, is the one that can make it happen. Then He revealed Himself as El Rohi, the God who sees, who is watching over our lives and who knows our needs and can adjust and help in those times of need. These names reveal characteristics of God that will help us understand and see Him, but also help us be better people because of who He is. Then he revealed himself as Yahweh, I am. That's a personal name. It reveals his personal interest in who we are. The name means the self-existent one. It's a name of relationship. That's revealed in Scripture by the fact that he says, I am the God of Abraham. I am is the God of Isaac. I am is the God of Jacob. And I am is the God of you and me. Personal God. And each one of these names are important in helping us understand God and to learn to relate to Him. And Abraham, or Abram, is part of that picture. Why? Because Abram was known as a man of great faith. He was the first person that God covenanted with to make a great nation, to make a people who were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, whose sole responsibility was to show the world how to walk with God in faith. That's why God called Abram out. That's why He calls us out, to show the world how to walk with God in faith. And those of us who are here as believers today are descendants of Abraham by that faith. Abram had an experience, had the experience of learning about God just as we have those experiences. Those moments when He reveals Himself to us, when He touches our life, and we know it's been God that was dealing with us. Well, as God revealed Himself to Abraham, or Abram had to learn how to apply that revelation to his life just as we do. When God reveals Himself, we have to figure out how that revelation, that knowledge fits in our life and our walk of faith. I'm going to be honest with you, we don't always get it right. And that's okay. Abraham didn't get it right all the time either. In fact, the lesson Abraham is learning in this passage we're looking at today is a lesson that comes out of his struggles, comes out of his not getting it right. Our scripture today is that kind of a passage. God had made a covenant with Abram when he was 75 years old. That covenant said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make you something unique. And all that you have to do in this covenant agreement is to leave your homeland and go to a new land. And I'm going to bless you. Part of that blessing was that he would have offspring. He would have children. Well, Abraham left his homeland and he obeyed God. And for 15 years, he wandered through this land that God had provided, but he didn't have any children. God reaffirmed his covenant to Abram. But even though he reaffirmed the covenant over and over, and more than one time, Abram still didn't have a son as his heir to be that nation that God was talking about. So in steps Sarah, Abram's wife, and suggests that they use a local custom and have a son through her servant girl. So Abraham goes along with it. And at 86 years old, he has a son through Hagar. But God shows Abram that this is not to be the son of promise. This is not to be the one who becomes the great nation that God has planned. Why? Because it wasn't the way God intended to do it. It wasn't God's choice. It was Abraham's and Sarah's choice. So Abraham is messed up. Well, 13 years after this, God still has not given Abram a son through his wife Sarah. Abram is now 99 years old, and even though he believes God, he's struggling with the reality. The reality is that, is it still possible for a man who's 99 and a wife who's 90 to bear a child? Has the window of opportunity passed? I mean, reality is, in the human mind, probably it's well over. And Abram is struggling. And it's in this struggle that God comes to Abram with a new revelation. He appears before Abram in some physical form. We're not sure what it was. Maybe it was in human form. Maybe it was in some other form. But he appears to him and he said to him, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." There are several lessons about God that Abraham learned from this encounter. Lessons that we can learn also, and I want you to look with me at the name El Shaddai and what it did for Abraham and what it can do for us. First off, as we look at this name, we find it's a name which means all-sufficient one. God appeared to Abram. He demanded that he walk before him and be blameless. Kind of interesting that when God approached Abram, he made that statement because Abram was struggling with his faith. He was struggling with doubt. And God is saying, walk before me as a blameless person. What does that mean? Well, he was reminding Abram that his responsibility was to live before him the life that he expected. The word blameless is a present imperative. That means God was commanding him to continually live in a way that would reflect God. To continually live by faith in God. The idea was that he was to have his... The idea is one who has integrity, whose life is in accord with the truth of God's Word and in accord with God's righteous character. That's what God was saying. Walk before me righteously. David Guzak pointed out that God is wanting a total commitment from Abraham. A commitment that says that God is all I need. You know, up until this point, Abraham had trusted God, but even in his trust, he still tried to work it out in his own way. That's not total commitment to God. That's not 100% saying, God, it's your plan, it's your way, no other way. And as God reveals himself, he's reminding Abram that faith in God and his covenant is not restricted to present reality. God is not limited by rules of this universe as we know them. Abram may have been giving up hope in his and Sarah's ability to produce children. It had been 25 years, no children yet. But guess what? God wasn't limited by that. God was capable of producing the child of promise. They were now well past the possibility of man's standards. But God is saying, stand strong in your faith. Stand strong in your commitment to me. And what was this faith to be based on? It was to be based on God as El Shaddai. Now, according to Warren Wiersbe, the word El is the name of God that speaks of power. And while the word Shaddai carries with it two basic ideas that scholars can agree upon, one of those ideas is the idea that most conservative scholars promote, and that is God is all-powerful or omnipotent. He is capable of anything. He is capable of doing whatever he says he will do. And this means, as R.C. Sproul says, that he is revealing himself as the God who makes and keeps his promises. He is strong enough to accomplish anything he has said he will do. The other idea expressed by Shaddai is that he is all sufficient. That he is the one who provides the nourishment, the things that we need. As Nathan Stone points out in his book, Names of God, it says Shaddai might signify the one who nourishes or supplies. El Shaddai then would be the one who is able to pour out his promises and his provisions of power. And he can do that in abundance. As Abram was struggling with the reality of his inability, God was asking him to surrender to El Shaddai's ability. Just so you'll know, if you look at Hebrews 11, the chapter, the 11th verse, it says, "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise." You see, Abraham was struggling in his faith, and God presented himself as El Shaddai, and it strengthened Abraham so he was able to trust that El Shaddai was sufficient, that El Shaddai was capable. And he stood boldly on God's promises. The Apostle Peter had an El Shaddai moment. Maybe you remember the experience. The apostles were out on the Sea of Galilee in a boat one night, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. And when Peter realized that it was Jesus, he said, "If it's really you, invite me to come out and walk with you." Kind of a bold statement. And Jesus said, "Well, come on." Peter got out of the boat and he starts walking toward Jesus. And you all know the story, what happened? He started to sink. Why did he start to sink? Because he took his eyes off of the one who was sufficient and started looking at what was around him, the wind and the waves. Started to doubt. And in his doubt, he started to sink. See, the reality is Satan wants so badly to keep us from walking in victory. Satan wants to stop us from accomplishing what God would have us do. He wants us to defeat us with doubts and things that would keep us from looking to the one who is sufficient. He wants us to look at the wind and the waves so that we'll doubt God. Knowing God as El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One, helps us to stand strong when Satan tempts us with doubt. When he would try to cause us to take our eyes off of God, if we know El Shaddai personally, we know God is sufficient. It won't matter. Well, also, El Shaddai is a name that calls forth hope and faith. We didn't read the 23rd verse of this chapter earlier, but it says, "On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and every male in his household, and he circumcised them as God told him." When Abram had been struggling before his encounter with El Shaddai, we now see him acting under his new covenant name to immediately obey God. Renewed his hope. He renewed his trust and his faith in God. And so he wanted to please God by obeying Him. His experience in meeting God Almighty restored his desire to do all things the Lord asked him to do. He no longer just believed God could. He knew God would. God was enough. He was sufficient. You know, one of the interesting things about the use of the name Shaddai in the Old Testament is it's only used 48 times, which is kind of amazing. But 31 of those 48 times that the name Shaddai is used in the book of Job. It's used in the story of a man who is suffering intense struggle. You remember the story. Job is this righteous man, and Satan decides to test Job, and God says, "Okay, go ahead, test him." Takes away all of his kids, takes away all of his property, inflicts his health with sore boils, and really makes him a miserable person. And it's in the context of the life of a man who is suffering severely and being tempted to doubt the goodness and fairness and justice of God that we see the name Shaddai used so regularly. Even Job's wife urged him to just curse God and die and get it over with. Here was a person who needed renewed hope, who needed renewed faith. And El Shaddai was the one to renew him. Out of his suffering came a man who had a renewed hope in God. We see a person who humbly recommitted himself to walking with his Creator. And just like Abraham, Job's experience taught him that knowing God was enough. God was sufficient. Even in the midst of severe testing, He was sufficient. So many times when we as Christians struggle with doubt and worry, when we struggle with trusting God with our health or with our life or with our grief or with our marriage or with our tithing or with anything that God has asked Him to trust Him with. We struggle because we're not operating out of the understanding of El Shaddai. So many times we're saying we know God can instead of saying we know God will. What's the difference? Well, if God has promised that He will do something and we say He can, that doesn't mean we're committed to His doing it. That just means we believe He can. But if He says He promises to do something and we trust Him that we know He will do it, that means we can celebrate now, whether it's been done or not. Why? Because God is El Shaddai, God is the all-sufficient one, is guaranteeing that it will happen. So many times we say we know God can, but unless we know El Shaddai, we don't really know for sure. You notice that when God came to Abraham and addressed him this time as El Shaddai, and He mentioned that He's going to have a son, if you look on over in the chapter, you'll find that it says that Abraham laughed. He wasn't mocking God with that laughter. When he met El Shaddai and realized God could do what He said He was going to do, he laughed because he was going to be a father. He was going to be a dad. Why? Because El Shaddai said it was going to happen. And it was as good as done. Guess what? A year later, he was a dad. God fulfilled this promise. We can celebrate because it's a done deal. It's a matter of just time. God's time. Knowing God can is not the same as trusting that He will. Knowing that He will means that we can thank Him in all circumstances because God is in charge of the circumstances. There's a third thing we can learn from the name El Shaddai. It's a name which reflects His ability to change our name and destiny. Look at verse 5. God comes to Abraham and says, No longer will you be called Abram. Why did He say that? Because he was going to be a different person. There was something changing in his life. What was changing? He was going to become the father of a great nation. Notice that God only gave him one son. Is that a great nation? Not really. But his grandson had 12 sons. Now you've got the beginning of a great nation. Okay? But still, Abram received the promise. He was to be the father of a multitude of nations. That was what Abraham meant. In Eastern countries, a name change is an advertisement of some new circumstance in the history, rank, or religion of the individual who bears it. In Abraham's case, his faith was being moved up a notch. He was gaining in his understanding of God. His wife might be too old, he might be too old, but God was not too old. God can make it happen. He had the authority to change a name and he had the authority to change a destiny, and Abraham and Sarah were going to be parents. The change of name did not just reflect a change in his faith, it reflected a change in his immediate future. 12 months later, Abram was a dad. He was a father. Years later, his grandson Jacob had an experience with a similar experience. He came face to face with El Shaddai, and his name was changed from what? Jacob to Israel. Because when he met the all-sufficient one, his future was different. His destiny was different. Not that God's plan for him had changed, but his attitude toward God's plan had changed. Both of these experiences reflect a similar experience which happens for each individual who meets Jesus. Because when Jesus becomes our Savior, guess what? Our destiny changes. We go from being a person who is lost to a person who is saved or found. We go from being a person who is destined to spend eternity separated from God to a person whose destiny is to spend eternity with God. We go from being a child of the world to being a child of the King. God Almighty is a God of life-changing power. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." God changes who we are. But God Almighty also has the power to change our name. He gives us a new name. In Revelation 3:12, Jesus, writing his letter to the church in Philadelphia, said, "Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name." Do you realize you get a name change when you become a believer? Yeah, your last name changes. You become a child of the King. He has the power to sustain us even in the midst of tribulation. Jesus has the authority to call us His own. He has the ability to make us different. So often as we're tempted or attempting to walk in this new life as a Christian, as we begin the life of following Jesus, and as we're struggling to figure out how to make our faith work, so often what we run into is that we make mistakes and that we fail. And I don't know about you, but in my case, those failures tend to mock me. Satan tends to remind me of them on a regular basis. He tends to tell me I'm not worthy of my new name, that I'm not worthy of my destiny because I messed up and failed God. You know what El Shaddai says? Doesn't matter. The one who's all-sufficient will complete the destiny. The one who's all-sufficient is the one that gave me the name. Nobody can take it away from me. Knowing El Shaddai gives us the confidence to get up and to stand strong once again, and it gives us the confidence to have the destiny that He has promised us, to have the new name, because the name and the destiny are resting in El Shaddai, not in me. It's resting in the all-sufficient one. Victory comes to us through our faith in the sufficiency of El Shaddai. Well, do you rest in the confidence that El Shaddai takes care of the things that you would normally worry about? Do you overcome? Can you obey Him knowing that His plan is best because El Shaddai is all sufficient? You see, God Almighty is still calling a people to be His kingdom of priests, a holy nation that will reveal Himself to the world. And that means we walk in victory. He's still commanding us to walk blameless before Him. Are we claiming the destiny because of El Shaddai? This morning as we close, maybe God has talked to you this morning. Maybe that name has special significance for you. Maybe you've had an encounter with Him that has changed who you are. That's good. We need to celebrate that. But maybe you're here today and you've lost sight of that name. You've lost sight of His sufficiency. Maybe you're struggling with doubt and discouragement like Abraham did. Maybe God is saying, it's time to trust me once again. Time to commit yourself to me 100% once again. We're going to have a time of invitation. It's going to be your opportunity, if God has spoken to you in some personal way, to respond to Him. Not to me. It's not to this church. It's to God Himself. And if He's speaking to your heart, these are your moments. This is your opportunity to do what He asks you to do. Maybe you're here today and you've never met Jesus Christ. You've never had Him change your life. You know, this invitation is your opportunity to make that choice today as we stand, as we sing.